Good morning, and thank you for joining us here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards as we celebrate the beginning of the next chapter of Orioles baseball. My name is Rob Long. I'm a broadcaster with the Baltimore Orioles, and it is an honor for me to be here for this significant occasion. But before we get started, we would like to take a moment to acknowledge the tragedy that took place at the Francis Scott Key Bridge on Tuesday morning. Our hearts go out to the victims and to their families. While we mourn their losses, we have immense gratitude for our leaders, including Governor Wes Moore, who's here today, and the many first responders who continue to risk their lives in hopes of returning more people home. If anyone here today knows, especially the people on the stage, that Baltimoreans are strong and we are resilient, and together we will get through this. Can you please join me right now in a moment of silence? Thank you. I'd like to take this time to introduce some very important people here today. Governor Wes Moore is joining us today. Baltimore City Mayor Brandon Scott sitting in front of me. Senator Ben Cardin as well. As well as Baltimore City Council President Nick Mosby. I saw him somewhere right there. Now, of course, I'd like to have the pleasure to introduce the 63rd governor of our great state of Maryland and passionate Orioles fan, Wes Moore.
Good morning. While today is an important day, it's important that we also acknowledge the moment that we find ourselves in. And today, we are thinking about the families of Dolian Castillo Cabrera and Maynard Suazo Sandoval, who were recovered and identified yesterday. We pray for the family and the families of all of the victims of the Key Bridge collapse, and our hearts are with the families. And to all the families, we are so sorry for this tragedy. Nuestros corazones están con las familias. Lamentamos mucho esta tragedia. And I also want to recognize David Rubenstein. I first had a chance to meet David about 20 years ago when a friend and a mentor of mine, Mayor Schmoke, introduced us and insisted that I give David a call. And the thing that I have always found about David is this. Not only has he always been incredibly generous with his time, every conversation that I've had with David has begun with a simple question. How's Baltimore doing? David is a Baltimore guy, and to have him at the helm of this team means everything to this city and to this state. So, David, thank you for believing in Baltimore, and congratulations on the unanimous vote by Major League Baseball declaring you the controlling owner of the Baltimore Orioles. It's an exciting moment, and it's an exciting moment for the entire team as well. Michael, it's great to see you. You know, David and I and so many in this room, we know that this team is about much more than just a baseball franchise. This team is about the city. The Orioles are the soul of Baltimore. And knowing that, the city's going to need you now more than ever. In this moment, it is important to take stock of what a difference a year can make. Because a year ago, uncertainty clouded everything. One of the most storied franchises in baseball history had just months left on its lease. The default oftentimes was to sign short-term deals because long-term deals were too hard. We had a team of youth and promise, but hadn't yet shown baseball just how good they could be. We had a city that was full of hope and potential, but hadn't yet shown the country its full strength. We were coming off 8 straight years of 300-plus homicides in the city of Baltimore alone. Our economy was still reeling from an unprecedented global pandemic. So from day one, we made the deliberate decision that we were going to work together to make sure that we were going to invest in Baltimore, because you cannot have a thriving state if your state's largest city is not thriving as well. And so we decided to work together with local leadership, with the private sector, with leaders of all levels of society, and with the community. And we were intentional about investing and working together on issues like public safety. And this year, Baltimore had the steepest one-year drop in homicides in its city's history. We were intentional about working together on economic growth. And Baltimore has one of the fastest growing economies in the entire nation right now. We were intentional about keeping the Orioles in Baltimore for the long term, and signed a lease extension for 30 years to keep baseball in this city for a generation. And that's why I'm proud that we had a chance to have remarkable leaders like the new MSA chair, Craig Thompson, helping to lead that charge. So Baltimore is being tested right now. But Baltimore has been tested before. And every time we stand up on 2 feet, we dust ourselves off, and we keep moving forward. Baltimore may get knocked down, but Baltimore doesn't stay down. Baltimore gets back up. And the reason I came here today is because I'm calling on everybody to do their part. In this game, nobody gets to sit on the sidelines. We need every single Baltimorean, and we need every single Marylander to join us in this work to rebuild this bridge and rebuild this city. And that work is happening as we speak. The best minds in the world are coming together to collect the information that we need to move forward with speed and safety in our response to this collapse. Government is working hand in hand with industry to investigate the area, to clear the wreck, and to move the ship. Leaders from across local and state and federal levels are gathering funds to rebuild this bridge. This work is not going to take hours. This work is not going to take days. This work is not going to take weeks. We have a very long road ahead of us. And that's exactly why we need partners like the Baltimore Orioles. Because this team reminds us what we're made of. The Orioles give us hope. The Orioles give us pride. The Orioles remind us what it means to be Maryland tough and Baltimore strong. So today, Baltimore stands strong. Baltimore stands tough. And Baltimore plans on seeing it through. So we are all here for opening day. We're all here for an exciting new chapter. But we also know that in this moment, we are going to move in partnership, because together, again, we are going to have another reopening day. And that will be the reopening of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And you can bet on that. So now, I'd like to call up the new owner of the Baltimore Orioles, David Rubenstein.
Thank you, Governor. And I'd like to acknowledge the presence of Wells, the President of the City Council, the Mayor, Senator Cardin. Thank you all for coming, and all of you who are here today. I first met the Governor when he joined the Johns Hopkins Board. I was on the Johns Hopkins University Board, and they announced that a new person was joining the board, Wes Moore. And I looked at the resume and said, how can anybody do all that? How could somebody be a Rhodes Scholar, a football player at Hopkins? I served in the military in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he's a nice guy and charming. And I said, I've seen a lot of political talent in my life. This person should go into politics at some point. But before that, I tried to recruit him to my firm. I said, the highest calling of mankind is private equity. And you should get in the private equity firm. But he had other things in mind. He wanted to do things like Robin Hood and other kinds of things and give back to the society. And so I admire the governor, and I want to thank him for hosting me for lunch on Saturday, because although he's very busy, obviously, with many things, he wanted to talk about the Baltimore Orioles and the ground lease that we hope to negotiate and complete by the end of the year. And the governor convinced me that he would get it through the legislature as soon as possible. So thank you very much, Governor, for that. And let me just say that Baltimore has a closer relationship with its team, its baseball team, than I think any other city does in the country. The team really represents the character, the soul, the grit, the personality of this city in a way that is not really true of any other baseball team in its city. And that's a good thing. Baltimore is a unique city. I grew up here. I know the pluses. I know the minuses. I know the challenges. I know the opportunities. And we have now a political team in the city, in the state, that I think can really help make this city live up to all of its potential. I hope the Orioles can play a small part in that. But so I hope what can happen is that the Orioles can, by winning, by unifying the city, by recovering the kind of greatness that it had in 1966 or 70 or 73, we can win a World Series again. But to do that, it's not easy, and it requires everybody to pull together. The 26 players in the team are 26 key people to make the team go forward. But you really need people in the back office, the front office, and the fans, and the commercial interests in the city, and the whole character of the city to pull together. Nobody's ever won a World Series by having a fan base that didn't care about the team. Nobody's ever won a World Series with the lethargic fans. You need fans who are dedicated and who care about the team. And that's what we have, but we're going to have it even more, I hope. And so what I wanted to do is to give back to the city in some ways. I grew up in Baltimore. I got a great public school education at Baltimore City College, and at other schools, Pimlico Junior High School, Falstaff Elementary. And the best teachers I ever had, including college and law school, were my teachers in Baltimore City College. It was a wonderful thing to give me a public education, which my parents really needed to give me because they couldn't have afforded to send me to a private school. And I really want to give back to Baltimore in a modest way, my expression of appreciation for all that Baltimore has done for me over the years and done for my family. So I grew up here. I was educated here. My parents grew up here. They were educated here. My parents are buried here, and I will be buried here. And I really want to say to Baltimore, this is a new day, a new chapter. We've had some challenge in the past, but we're looking forward. And in this regard, I want to thank John Angelos and his family, particularly his mother, Georgia, who I met with recently. They've had some challenges for sure. There's no doubt that it was not easy for times. But John Angelos decided it was a good time for a new chapter, and I thank him for doing so. Now, when the team first came here in 1954, the purchase price was $2.2 million. My partners and I are paying a little bit more than that, inflation being what it is. But we're proud of every penny we're paying because it's worth every penny we're paying, because we really have a unique franchise with an incredible group of young players, with the best general manager in baseball, the best manager in baseball, and I hope the best fans in baseball, and also the best government officials supporting a team in baseball. So what I hope to do is to make sure this is not the high water mark. Today is an easy day to say everything is great, and hopefully we'll win opening day. But I don't want this to be the high water mark. I want the high water mark to be in the fall when we go to the World Series and we show that we are a city that supports a great team, and we are a city that is represented by a great team, and we unify the city in ways that only the Orioles can really do. We have other teams and other great institutions in this city, and I've been involved with some of them, like Johns Hopkins. But nothing unifies a city and unifies this city as the Baltimore Orioles and as the success of the Baltimore Orioles. So I hope that we can bring that about, and I look forward to working with everybody in Baltimore who would like to help the Orioles become as great as they once were and as great as we know they can be. Now, I've gotten a fair amount of attention recently. I wish my parents were alive to see it. My mother would say, David, what do you know about owning a baseball team? And, of course, she wouldn't have that much confidence I knew that much. She told me not to go into business because it wouldn't work. She said, keep my law license. You need something to fall back on. I'm still a member of the D.C. Bar just in case I have to fall back on my legal skills, which are not that great. But I didn't do this by myself. There were a whole team of people that worked on this for many, many, many months. People who are friends of mine, people who are colleagues of mine, people who are investment bankers, people who are lawyers, accountants, and so forth. It was a real, to buy a baseball team, it takes a city to buy a baseball team. It takes a village to buy a baseball team. And with a lot of people, I want to thank all of them for working together. One of the key things I wanted to do was to have a financial partner along my side who knows a lot more about finance than I do and who's built a really good company. And that person is Mike Arrighetti. He has not as well known to you because he's not from Baltimore, but he knows much more about baseball probably than I do because he's been a participant in a fantasy baseball league for 27 years. 27 years. And now he has to give that up because the rules of baseball don't let you be in fantasy baseball leagues anymore. But he knows a great deal about finance. He's built an incredible company in New York called Ares. And with his partners who are also here, who are also investing with us, I think we've got a great combination. So it's my pleasure and honor to have my partner come up here, Mike Arrighetti. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, David and Governor Moore, and thank you, everybody, for joining us today. My partners, Mitch Goldstein, Mike Smith, and I stand proudly with the great city of Baltimore today. David always loves to mention my fantasy baseball legendary performance, but really what I think that's more indicative of is just my lifelong passion for this great game that we all love together. And as much as I love the sport and the pacing of the season, what baseball has done for me and I think has done for this community is bring people together. I know nothing in the world of sport that brings communities and families together generation to generation with shared memories and history and values and dreams. And I know the healing power of sport and the healing power of baseball. And so my thoughts and prayers go out to the families and all of the lives that have been impacted by the tragedy at the Key Bridge. But it is my sincere hope that today, opening day, will be a moment where we all can come together and have a moment of joy in a dark week and celebrate this city and this community and the strength of the city of Baltimore. Now, David is also so generous with his description of my accomplishments, but David and I have been friends and competitors for a very long time, and he is a very unique, special kind of leader. He approaches his entire life with a sense of humility and modesty. I think we both share humble beginnings. Both of my parents were public school teachers, and so I always get a great kick out of David's love of his public school education. My grandfather was a postal worker. My paternal grandfather was a Navy Yard welder. And so I understand how important baseball is to communities and to cities and to pulling people up, and I feel fortunate to be able to be here doing my little part to help improve the city of Baltimore and advance this great franchise. But David is a special leader. He is a servant leader. He puts the people that are around him before himself. He approaches everything he does with great philanthropy and great generosity. And I think it's through that lens that I come to this moment in my life and with this franchise, because we are really guardians of this franchise. It's nice to be an owner, but this is an asset of the city and the community. We have a deep sense of civic responsibility to do the best we can to advance the franchise, to advance the neighborhood, and we're going to do everything we can to do that. What I've also done, despite the humility, I've also come to know that David is a great competitor, and maybe one of the things that I love more than baseball is winning, and I know that David does too, and while we are united in many views and many things, I think we are together in our steadfast hunger to bring a World Series championship back to Baltimore as soon as possible, and we will do everything that we can to do that, and so I look forward to a great season. Thank you for embracing me, my family, my partners. We're thrilled to be part of this wonderful community and look forward to a great season. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I speak on behalf of the entire organization and Birdland when I say we look forward to writing the next chapter of Oriole baseball with you. Before I go on, we missed a couple of people. I'd like to take this time to acknowledge Lieutenant Governor Aruna Miller. Thank you. And I would be remiss, growing up in West Baltimore, listening to Oriole baseball on the radio, it was always Ripken and Murray. So we have to acknowledge Baseball Hall of Famers Cal Ripken. And, of course, Eddie Murray. Governor Moore and Mr. Rubenstein, on behalf of the ownership group, will take questions from you. Now, before we go, I have to play the bad guy because we have time restraints. We have our manager will speak at noon, so we've got to get out of here in a few minutes. So, but if you have a question, we'll bring the microphone around to you for your question. Just raise your hand. Okay, all the way in the back.
For the governor, actually two questions. two questions. So first of all, regarding the bridge and the state legislators are introducing a bill that would protect wages for workers, among other things. Obviously, there is no existing funding for that. Do you have any expectations as to where that money will come from? Will it come from state coffers? And then I have a second question regarding fracture critical bridges in the state. Do you have any plans to evaluate and other fracture critical bridges like the Francis Scott Key Bridge to ensure that this sort of thing doesn't happen again?
Yeah. So first on the workers, we have to make sure that our workers are protected. You know, when you're looking at the impact of the Port of Baltimore and what that bridge represents, we're talking about upwards of 8,000 workers. This is a core economic engine for our state, and we have to make sure that our workers are protected. I know there's a series of legislation that's been spoken about. There has not been language that's been produced yet. But the thing that we know is that we are going to work with the General Assembly, as the same way we're working with members of our federal delegation, on ensuring that that our workers are going to be protected in this time. On the critical infrastructure issue, it's absolutely right. I mean, when you look at the size and the enormity of the vessel that that hit the Key Bridge, when you're looking at a vessel of that size, and just yesterday, we were actually out. In fact, I was out with the mayor, with Senator Cardin, and we hopped on a Coast Guard cutter to get a close look. The size of that vessel is enormous. And when you're talking about a vessel moving at that speed, the difficulty of not just the Key Bridge, of frankly many bridges around the country being able to take that kind of direct impact, was minimal. And so there is and there is going to be a true full evaluation. And again, not just of that, of just all of our key infrastructure that we have all around the state of Maryland. This is something that happens consistently around our state, but what happened with the Key Bridge is you know, was an important reminder of the work and the task ahead.
Next question. Colby.
Hi, Mr. Rubenstein, Jerry Coleman. Question for you regarding Camden Yards. There's been talk about naming rights for Camden Yards. Would love to know where that stands. And also trying to get an all-star game back to this stadium as well. Is that part of your efforts behind the scenes?
Well, the all-star games have already been allocated for the next few years. I think the earliest we could probably do it is 2028 or 7. Yeah, it's 27. Yeah. So it's going to take a while. It's something we're obviously interested in. We hope by that time the stadium will be rehabilitated a bit, and therefore we'd like to show it off. So once we have the rehabilitated Camden Yards, I think it'd be a great time to then show it off. We want to make sure we have it completed, though. So we are interested in it, and I am familiar with the situation. And the naming rights, you know, there have been proposals for that. No decision is imminent, and I am familiar with the proposal that came forward. But, you know, it's something we'll take a look at. But nothing is going to happen immediately. And I have been in touch with those people that would like to do the naming, and I just have to follow up after we get the opening day things behind us. Let me just add, if I could, in our ownership group, we've tried to have a group of people that represent not just people that look like me, but we have people that, you know, come from all different kind of backgrounds. And we also have people that actually know how to play baseball, too. One of them is Cal Ripken. And if I could ask Cal to come up for a moment, one moment. Cal, could you speak for a moment and why you're interested in being part of our ownership group? You know, he has a better feel for baseball than probably anybody that I know, with possible exception of Eddie Murray, who's right here. But, Cal, tell us why you'd like to join.
I could give the mic to Eddie Murray, too.
Okay.
I'm not going to take much of your time. It's an exciting day for me personally. I got a nice new jacket. And I want to thank David and Michael for the opportunity to be part of the ownership group. I've loved the Orioles since I was about 5 years old. I remember my dad greeting all of the minor league, the organization, and saying, "Welcome to the greatest organization in baseball." And there was a pride to be an Oriole, the whole Oriole way. And then I dreamed about for the next 20 years about trying to become a Baltimore Oriole. And then luck would have it that that I became a Baltimore Oriole for 21 years. And then I spent the last 20 years learning a little bit about business through owning an Oriole affiliate. And so timing is, you're finding out, plays a part in all our decisions and all things, how they work out. And this is a wonderful timing for me to be able to come back, be part of the Oriole organization, and help out in any way that I can. And so I'm really looking forward to that.
So you can see, I was a Little League All-Star shortstop at age of 8 or 9, I think it was. And I didn't grow to be as tall as Cal Ripken. So, you know, if only I'd been a little taller, maybe I could have played for the Orioles. But, okay, we have a most valuable player here. And we have another most valuable partner, and that is our general manager, Mike. Do you have any comments? Would you like to say something?
Mike, come on up. I'll give you my mic.
Thanks for the heads up. Appreciate it.
Okay. Go ahead. Most valuable person, our general manager.
It's testing my spontaneity. What more is there to say? Governor Moore, great to have you here. And, you know, we support everything that we do. And it's just been so nice getting to know you personally and the support you give to our franchise and our city, of course, but is really personal, and it means a lot to us. So really appreciate everyone being here. Momentous occasion. I've really appreciated the warmth that I've received from the incoming owners, management, partners. And, you know, this is a very bright day, very bright inflection point for our franchise. We all feel wonderful about where the Orioles are right now and where they're going. And, you know, the success of our team is part and parcel with the success of not just the city, but the state too. So we take it all very seriously, and looking forward to enjoying the day, and hopefully we can be 1-0 in a few hours.
Yes. Yesterday we had a meeting with the professional employees here, and what I tried to say then is that those people that work in the front office and the back office are just as important as our players. Only if we have everybody united are we going to win a World Series. And I also asked them to pray for good weather today. And to show you that prayer does work, it looks like we're going to get the game off. So I want to thank all those who prayed yesterday of all religions, but obviously the weather gods heard us. So we're very pleased that we can actually have the game go forward, it looks like. Okay? Other questions? Yes. Yeah, here?
For the governor.
Thank you. Sir, have you, at this point in regard to the bridge collapse, has there been anything identified safety-wise that maybe it should have been done that wasn't, or anything that needs to be put in place in the future?
I think everything and all the investigations are still very preliminary. And as more information comes out from the investigations, we'll get a better sense of what exactly happened, both leading up to the crash and also anything that could have done to prevent it. But the thing that we know is the full commitment that we have, both from a state and also the commitment that we have from the federal government as well, is we are going to do anything and everything to make sure that our people are protected, that our people are safe, and that our transportation and our infrastructure assets are the best in the world.
Mr. Rubenstein, if I may, obviously Baltimore runs through your veins. Can you talk to us about your reaction when you first saw the news of the Key Bridge collapsing? And then separately, speaking to the governor's point of how important the team is to rebuilding a city. Down in D.C., the Caps and the Wizards are going to stay in the city, but at one point they were going to move to Virginia, everyone thought. Can we get your reaction to Mr. Leonce's deciding to stay in the District of Columbia?
My reaction to the bridge? Is that what you're...
First, yes.
First. Oh, the same reaction any human would have. It's a tragic situation, and obviously particularly terrible for those people who happened to be at the bridge at the time, the tragic loss of life. But it's an unfortunate situation as well for the economic strength of the community, because it's been a very important bridge. So, you know, it does remind everybody that infrastructure is so important to our country, and having strong, fresh, new infrastructure is important. This bridge, I'm not an expert on how it was constructed, but clearly it probably, you know, it was a shock that what happened, let's put it that way. So I have the same reaction every human being has, which is the tragic loss that happened, something very sad.
And
then
so the Caps and the Wizards?
I'm sorry?
The Caps and the Wizards?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What can I say? I'm not an owner of that team. I do know Ted Leonsis well, and Glenn Youngkin used to work at my firm, and before he became governor of Virginia. I think being a partner in my firm is a better thing than being governor of Virginia, but not better than being governor of Maryland, though. But I think Glenn structured a deal that I guess it seems as if didn't have the complete support of the legislature, but I'm not familiar with the details. And I think the people in the District of Columbia are quite happy with the result that we now have. And I applaud the mayor for going back and getting that done. And I applaud Ted for being willing to reverse course and get something done that everybody in the Washington metropolitan area is pleased with, in my view.
I'm sorry, folks, we're out of time right now. As we said, we had time restraints. This is the end of our Q&A session. Thank you all for coming. Lots more Oriole baseball and Open Day festivities for the rest of the day.